a super battle suit is discharged into space, changing the life of one hapless duck and transforming him into a hero called Wonder Duck.
What's up, George? What's going on in the House of Craze tonight?
In the House of Craze, we have a very special guest, Lori Calcaterra, and she's got a Kickstarter called Path of the Pale Writer. Dope ass title. She's coming up in just a few minutes.
Let's get it.
We are the only show for independents all around, giving you a platform to spread your word all over town. Cast the Craze is the place to promote to your fans with the dream of Medina and Sam the Crazy Man. Subscribe to our show and never miss an episode. It's time to get your meds, listen to us on the go. Updated every week, we never miss a day. Join the squad, come on in, it's time to cast the Craze. If you are an independent,
cast the Craze!
Making moves on your own,
cast the Craze!
On your grind in the streets,
cast the Craze!
Join the movement,
cast the Craze!
Yeah, George, we did it again. Come on now. Yeah, you want to do it. Catch the Craze. Welcome to Catch the Craze Podcast. I'm your host with the most, Sam the Crazy Man Farrah, and I am with
George the Dreamer Medina. What's happening, everyone? Welcome to another exciting episode of Catch the Craze. We are live once again. It's Wednesday, April 20th, 8 p.m. here in the East Coast. And we are going to be talking to Ananda, indie creator, with an incredible book. It's on Kickstarter right now. It's Path of the Pale Writer. I love the title of the book. And we're going to be talking to her in just a few minutes. We do this just about every week. So if you are interested in discussions like this, interviews like this, please subscribe to the channel. Make sure you hit the like button, comment below, hit that bell up on the corner there so that you know when we go live. And that way you can join the conversation on these live shows. But what's going on with you, Sammy? How you doing, brother?
Word. Busy. Word. Busy as a beaver. Yeah, I just got a lot of shipping notices. I've got a lot of books on its way here. Snap. Getting ready for the licensing expo in Vegas. Licensing. I'm looking forward to
that. Just a little over a month from now.
Bam. Yes, booth D104. That's where you'll find Duty and me. And I'm sending 6 more books out to print today. And so I have the press kits done, all that stuff. Now the final things I got to send out this week are the giveaways and the backdrops for the booth. So that's going on, and I'm getting ready for the launch of the Nailing My Toilet issue number 2. So if you haven't signed up already, please sign up. The landing page is there. Everyone's already gotten their received their campaign rewards from issue number 1.
Right.
And as I promised, I said it was going to be in April. It was done in April. Done. Signed, sealed, and delivered. And so now, if you read it, I'd love to hear your feedback and sign up for issue number 2. It's going to be even funnier. And you also get to find out how Duty grew up on the planet Uranus in Duty's adventures as he goes up against the diabolical egomaniac overlord nemesis Poopoo. So that's going to be fun. So go and check that out.
Yeah. Are there any stragglers? Do you have anybody that you're missing?
I got one package. I've sent a dozen emails, and the survey was never answered. So I also have 2 packages from Forbidden from last year. They never. I found them on social. I tagged them. I don't get any responses. So they're still in the boxes. I'm sure one day they're gonna wake up and say, "Wait, that's right. I had a package I never got." What? They're probably gonna call me a swine and go on social media and realize, "Yo, I got a paper trail, buddy." I want to send it to you. It's packed. It's ready to go. Just send me your address. That's it.
Make sure that when these surveys get to you guys fill them out because it's definitely, you know, I used to love putting the names of the people who contributed on the books. But when you are waiting for surveys to come in with how do you want your name put on the back of the book, it slows everything down. So now what I'm doing is I'm putting it on the digital copy. of the book rather than on the copy that's going to the
bless your soul, young man. I stopped the naming stuff a long time ago. I was like, you know what? It's like that was just too much work, and
I still want to give shout outs to the people who did it, but it does. If you don't answer the surveys, it does slow it down, especially when you got to print these things.
Even with this campaign, I think it was 12 people didn't answer their surveys. I had to track them down.
Yeah. So make sure, if you're pledging, guys, make sure that you check for those surveys. Make sure you check your spam folders. Make sure you check all of that stuff. Otherwise, you don't get your stuff. You paid out this money, and then you don't get anything.
It's not just with that. It was also with the guests that booked themselves to come on the show. They use an email on Calendly to book themselves, but then they don't respond to the email when you're sending them the StreamYard links. And next, you know, the day of, they're like, "I never got my link." Well, I sent it to the email. You sent it to me.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Check the spam. Yeah.
Why do you use the email if you're not going to check it? So the package is waiting. It's in storage with the other two packages from the Forbidden campaigns from a year ago.
So whoever you are, please make sure that you answer that survey so Sam can get that package out to you. Yes. And it's tough, man. That's part of the Kickstarter gig, man. That's what you do. Yeah. I'm about to find out myself because May 4th.
That's right.
May the 4th be with you.
You're gonna understand my pain.
Yes. I will be launching The Adventures of Wonder Duck. It's coming May 4th. It's gonna be launched here on the show. So we're gonna go live on May 4th at 8 p.m. And then at 8:30, I'm gonna hit that button. I'm also gonna be giving stuff away. I got t-shirts that I wanna give away. And I wanna hook up the people who signed up to the pre-launch page, because it's important to have that launch page up so that people know that it's coming. And a lot of you have already signed up, and I want to thank every single one of you who signed up. If you have signed up and haven't done so yet, please hit me up. Go to The Adventures of Wonder Duck or hit me up on Instagram. I want to send you guys a PDF of The Adventures of Wonder Duck. Now, this is going to be an exclusive PDF for the
people. I'm surprised you didn't do that as a cover.
Yeah, this is funny. I'll tell you about it in the off air, but... So this will be going to you guys. Send me your email address. I'll send you a PDF of it. And if you decide to pledge, then I will send a printed copy of that to you guys. Now, that's only for the people who sign up to the pre-launch page. It's not going to be part of the campaign. It's just strictly for the people who signed up as a thank you for coming in early and doing your thing. But yeah, so the campaign is going to go live on May 4th. So make sure you sign up to the show, subscribe, hit that bell so that you know when the show goes live. But yeah, no, it's gonna be fun, and it's gonna go. You know, it's a 28-day campaign. The last day will be June 1st, which is the day after Sam launches the campaign for Duty, which we're also gonna have a live show for. So you want to tune in that last week, especially since the week that you are in Vegas, there won't be any live shows that week, but there will be, you know, obviously the Friday show, and there's gonna be a pre-recorded show of The Crazy in 10 or Less, which is also part of the channel. So make sure you subscribe and make sure you hit those buttons for the pre-launch page. Now, the campaign is coming soon. It's less than 2 weeks away. So
yeah, it's right around the corner.
Make sure you sign up. Yeah, it's right around the corner. So fun's about to start.
Yeah, you gotta learn to, you gotta feel the pain of having to fulfill all those stuff.
Yes.
Yeah, you're probably Johnny Boy.
big shout out to some of the shows that I will be on, promoting the fact that the campaign is live. I'm trying to look for my stuff here. Big shout out to a lot of the shows that I've already signed up for. You know, my boys over at the Nerds of the Round, Sebastian, Law, and Tone from Across the Hall. Big shout out to you guys, JD Calderon. I will be there. Girls from Raging 2, they're gonna have me on the show. So I'm gonna be on a few shows. See Michael Lanning and Stone Abdullah. Those guys are gonna have me on their dispatches from outside the box.
I like those shows. In fact, I'm supposed to. Yo, see Michael, what's up? It's Stone. We're supposed to be doing another episode on Alf. What's up?
There you go. Michael Gracia, big shout out to him. Andrew Davis. All these shows, and I'll be posting all of these shows once I confirm them. Keeping it Geekly, my boy Cody, can't wait to be on that show. So it's gonna be fun, man.
Cody does a really good job.
Yeah, he's awesome, man. He's awesome, very supportive. So thank you everyone who has supported The Adventures of Wonder Duck so far. And right now, if you have Amazon Prime right now and you want to catch up, the first chapter, well, the first book, which is four chapters.
47% discount.
47% discount on Amazon right now. So you want to hit that up, go to Amazon.com, type in The Adventures of Wonder Duck and get yourself the graphic novel, 88 pages.
That's like shopping at Marshall's, bro.
Yo, it's discounted right now. There's a limited amount left. I think that there's a limited stock. But yeah, now go there before the campaign starts. That way you're caught up.
So, now, yeah. Any reason why you do it through there and not through directly through you?
Because I don't have room to keep all that stuff in stock. You know what it is? Amazon takes care of all of it. If you have an issue, if it comes damaged, you can send it back. They'll send it to you. So, you know, it's just easier to deal with that stuff. I don't have to hit up the post office and go send your book out. And,
The way I do it is what I do is I order a quantity of books and then I'll update my inventory on my website and say, this is the money units that are available. And then I get an alert when I'm down to 10 that I need to re-up and I have to do another order. Mm-hmm. So that's how I remind myself. So this way I never fall out of inventory. And I'm always a step ahead and I can just go back and just hit, and I don't have to go back and get approved or anything because, you know, like Comics Wellspring, they have everything already on file. So I just hit reorder, boom. And they just shipped out.
And if you guys, you know, don't like Amazon or for whatever reason, you can go to barnesandnobles.com. They have it there as well. Big shout out to Darkfire Press, James DeSantis. He's the publisher of the book. So if you go to darkfirepress.com, you can also get it in Comixology. And there's a few ways to get the book as well. So there are a few options to get that first book if you guys want to read it before the fifth chapter comes out, which is the next chapter of the saga. That is The Adventures of Wonder Duck. So
word up. So with that said, we're going to hit this bump and remind you all the reasons why you should subscribe to Catch the Craze. And we don't want you to hear from us. We want you to hear from our previous guests. So here we go. And when we come back, we're coming back with our guest.
It's Monty Moore. I'm a 30-year comics veteran in comics, games, and movies. And you've been watching one of my absolute favorite podcasts, Catch the Craze.
You are watching Catch the Craze.
What am I listening to?
And you're listening to Catch the Craze.
Where are all the indies at?
A Catch the Craze podcast.
What are you watching?
I'm watching Catch the Craze.
What are you going to do?
Subscribe now to Catch the Craze, the number one show online for independent.
Have you subscribed to?
You are an independent.
Catch the Craze!
Making moves on your own.
Catch the Craze!
On your grind in the streets.
Catch the Craze!
Join the movement.
Catch the Craze!
Welcome, Laurie Calcaterra. How's it going?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Good, good, good. How you doing, Laurie? Did we said your name correctly, right? Calcaterra?
Yeah,
we didn't mess it up?
Nice. we kill names.
I'm known. Yeah, we're known for killing just last names. Yeah,
there's bodies everywhere.
Well, my body is still alive at the moment.
So welcome, Laurie Calcaterra, to Catch the Craze. You know, we're happy to have you here. Love the title of the book that you are promoting right now. It's funny because I did see you on the Nerds of the Round. You were making your rounds, obviously, and you were talking about the book. And I was like, oh, we're going to have you on the show. I didn't even realize that you had already,
I already
had already been booked on the show. I was like, all right, well, there it is. So thank you.
I know. I was thinking about it on the show and I was like, yeah, I'll come on. And I was like, wait a minute, that name sounds really familiar. I'm like, I'm not going to say anything.
That's amazing. Yeah, no, we made it happen. Here you are.
Yeah.
But for those watching and who may not know who Laurie Calcaterra is, just give us a brief introduction as to who you are.
Hello, I am a nerd / indie comic book writer. I'm a lifetime martial artist. Then my journey from martial arts led me to writing, and I wrote something for production that we turned into a comic book, and that's what we're talking about today.
Nice, nice. Mm-hmm. Wow, so you're a UFC fan?
Yeah. I have a problem watching UFC because I'm always yelling at the screen.
So
don't do that.
were you a fan of Ronda Rousey?
Yes, well, I was. I she was just to the point, you know what I mean? Yeah. It's not like a show fight for her. It was just no funny business. It was get in and win. Right. And it took a long time for people to figure her out.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
How did you feel when she lost to Holly that?
I saw it coming though. It's like when you were watching
The face-off, the weigh-ins?
Yeah, yes, like, you know, nervous. They show you, like, them training, and it was like, I was watching Holly training, and I was like, this girl's for real. Like, she's a contender. Like, watching her run through the mountains multiple times a day, it's like limited atmosphere and stuff like that. I was just like, wow. But she really had studied Ronda extensively. Yes. So she knew to keep her distance. She knew like her legs and just, you know, keeping her at a distance. And that's how you have to deal with grapplers.
Right? Yes.
You can't let them get in close.
You know, it's funny because I feel like that took all of her, just like her powers away. You know what I mean? Like she just went from being the best to like, oh my God, what am I going to do? You know, like it was devastating to watch that kick. Not just the fact that the kick was so strong, but what happened to her career right after that.
It was tough.
She came back from it. And I think the reason why I knew she was going to lose, it was at the weigh-ins when they were facing off and her lip was quivering. She's never been scared before in any of the weigh-ins. She's always been the dominant one. But if you watched it, her lip was, I was like, oh damn, I can't watch it. She's going to lose. I was like, and it was just horrible. Because that's when you know, that's Conor McGregor used to try to take your soul from you. And, you know, and so it was at the weigh-ins and you knew if he was going to win or not during that time.
Yeah. But that's the thing about Conor is that he can lose and he still has that ego, that personality that carries his career. Ronda doesn't have that.
No.
So when she lost, she lost it.
What did you practice? You said martial arts. What was your specialty?
Yeah. I practice Filipino and Indonesian martial arts. So I'm currently practicing. It's called Kalis Ilustrisimo. It's a bladed art. So knives, machetes, stuff. So. Yeah, weapons. We do just weapons.
We fillet people.
That's what we do.
I will hurt you, yes.
So what about those comics?
I know. It's funny. It's like, we're going to change the subject. But if you think about it, Ronnie. But if you think about it, like someone my size, I'm not all that big. So if I'm going to be defending myself against someone who's bigger, stronger, or multiple opponents, I need a weapon, which is an equalizer. And I've known this for years. It's like there's weight classes for a reason, guys.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
you could be a great boxer and a featherweight. You can't go in with the heavyweight. He'll kill you.
Knock you out quickly.
Well, that's the reason why Conor struggled with Nate Diaz, because he put on the weight too fast, too soon. His body wasn't conditioned for that, and Nate, that was his natural weight.
That's where he lives.
Yes. So, you know, so exactly. You have to actually be. It's got to be some prep time longer than 3 to 3 months or whatever. You know, you got to adjust.
And that's the hard part about UFC is because of the weight. It's like you have to cut weight, you add weight. And like you said, it's like sometimes you're caught outside your natural level just because you're trying to add weight to be against a certain opponent. But it's like, that's not how a real fight works, okay? Right. Some dude's going to jump you as you're walking to your car. He's going to point a gun in your back or a knife in your back, and that's when you have to react. So that's what I'm training for. I'm not training for UFC.
You know what's funny, Lori? Like, I've never seen Sam so engaged with
you're the first one. You're the first person.
Talk about fights.
The minute you said martial arts, I knew he was on. I was like, Sam's engaged. There he is.
I could talk martial arts for a long time.
Lori, tell us about, you said it, you know, martial arts led you to the writing of this book.
Yeah.
Tell us how that transition happened. Like, how did you go from that to this?
Yeah, it was weird. So I was doing my day job. I was working in the financial department of a copy machine company in Michigan. And one of my coworkers was friends with cinematographer for this production company called Coattail Collective. They're based out of Detroit. They were looking for extras at that time for a music video. The artist was producing something. I think the title of the song was I Think I'm Bruce Lee. So they wanted some fights, but they weren't expecting what I offered them. So I got in contact and I was just like, hey, not only am I a martial artist and I can be an extra, but we can choreograph your fights for you. Nice. And I have a team of people that are interested to come in and either train your people or be the stunt people for you. So we met with them and they fell in love with us. And that's how that whole relationship started. So we actually did a short film. I produced it. I wrote it. I acted, blah, blah, blah. I did all the things. I wore all the hats.
Yeah, nice.
I got the crap beat out of me by my friend Taki Kabir. But I mean, it was mutual. I kicked him in the face a few times too. So I mean, like we had a fight scene like in a stairwell where I did like a wall run in the stairwell and like gun disarms. We had an extended knife fight. He did like the cool Winter Soldier toss where it goes in the air and then he catches it. It only took him two tries. That was amazing. Wow. That's all right. I disarm it. Like I spit blood in his face or run him over with the car. Like we have a good time, right? It's 7 minutes of just like kicking everybody's butt, right?
That's awesome.
So after I wrote that, the production company looked at me and was like, okay, we are a good fit. Why don't you come on with us? We'll see what else you can do. So they were at that point talking about having a YouTube channel with multiple web series. So they would all be on the same channel, right? So someone would produce a drama, someone would produce a comedy. I would produce something. You know, we all came to the table with our different ideas. So I wrote 2 seasons of this web series called The Agency, and it's a spy drama. Lots of twists, martial arts in every episode. It's awesome. We filmed the pilot. And then my family got relocated from Michigan to Texas.
Oh, wow.
So then that one just kind of went, you know, nowhere. Yeah. And it wasn't anybody's fault. It's just what happened, right? Yeah. So, but that's kind of what gave me the taste of writing. So I had this idea, what would happen to the world if nothing could die? And I started exploring all the terrible things that would happen. And I just wrote them down. So I built the world and then I worked on the story and I actually wrote it's long enough to be a full length movie.
Right.
And then I didn't know what to do with it because it's so big. Mm-hmm. We couldn't produce it. No way. Right. So like a friend of mine read it and he was like, you got to pitch this to Netflix. They'll eat it up. And I was just like, I don't know how to do that. I don't know how to protect my story. Because they're so big, they'd be like, here's your check for $5,000. We're going to bring in Hollywood writers, rewrite your whole script, change all your characters. We'll Hollywood it up. We'll make millions of dollars, but you're going to be out of the picture, right? You'll have no say.
Yeah.
That conversation didn't happen, but that's my fear. You know what I mean? That I'll be just written out of the creative process. And then it'll be something that I might not even want to put my name on it, you know, and that happens all the time. Yeah. So I was like, okay, what else can I do besides that? So, my husband read the script, which is really hard, you know, letting your significant other read something that you've poured your warped mind into. And you're like, he's going to look at me weird. But he was like, this is really good.
Warped mind.
It's warped. But if you, he was like, this is a comic book. And I was like, why didn't I think of that? Like we read comics all the time. Like we're big. We read a lot of Image. So like The Walking Dead, like Kirkman stuff, Oblivion Song, Invincible. But then there's like Nailbiter, East of West, Saga, I could just keep going, you know, Low. But a lot of those are apocalypse theme, which I love. Right. So that's kind of was like, this is a no-brainer. That's the way that we need to do. So I took my giant script and I broke it up into 13 episodes.
How many pages was the script, Lori?
It depends on the content, but they're around 22 to 24 pages.
No, I mean the script that you wrote.
The script that I have?
Yeah.
Ooh.
It was big, huh?
Well, I'm still writing it.
Oh, shoot. Okay. Okay.
So the first arc is probably 120 pages you know, script writing, though. It's not a book. It's like you have dialogue. You know, it's like when you read a script.
How was that process of changing it from your screenplay now to a con? Like what did you use? Yeah. What was the process that you used to change it? Was it the Marvel method or was it the DC method? You know, Marvel being, hey, here's a page, here's artist, draw it. This is what's going to happen on this page, you draw it. Or did you break it down? Panel 1, panel 2, panel 3, panel 4? How did you write it?
No, it's still a script. So I got my illustrator involved, he was able to read the script, but I didn't dictate what happened on a page. I gave him almost complete artistic freedom.
Cool.
To interpret what's on my page. So, of course, I'm very descriptive. So like he can see what I'm describing in his head because he's that good. But like when we go through the script, so the first thing we do is obviously we read it together and I point out everything that's kind of important for the viewer to see, you know, so plot points, like they have to see this, they have to see that. Right. And then he'll kind of go through and we'll discuss like where the pages turn, stuff like that. Like, okay, so this is where I see a page turn, or like, this is how I want to panel it, so it makes sense. It's a complete thought when you turn the page. And then he goes through his process of sketching, and he'll usually sketch like two or three times a page, you know, changing the paneling, changing the perspective, changing little things, you know, and seeing what kind of comes out. So the sketch process is where I'm probably the most involved. Being a comic book reader, I'm like, okay, this is what I like. You know, I like this on this page. I like that on this, you know, rendition of this page. And he'll kind of pick and choose and put them all in into one pencil drawing. I'll just look at it at that point to be like, yes, I love it. You know, make sure you include this plot point, which he'll put in. And then he inks it and it's beautiful. So I'm really lucky. Yeah, I'm really lucky to have someone at his skill level.
How did you meet him? Yeah. How did you guys meet?
Social media. We're both in a group on Facebook that's called Connecting Comic Book Artists and Writers, or Writers and Artists, one or the other. Mm-hmm. So he had posted his portfolio and I reached out. You know, that's how it
How tough was that process, Lori, for you? Like, how tough was the process of finding an artist that matched what you were writing? Like, because I find it sometimes difficult. You know what I mean? Because you don't know what you're going to get. But how did you do it? How did you vet it? How did you, what was your, you know, how did you do that?
Well, a lot of it is really looking at their portfolio. I don't want to say Facebook stalk, but you look at their other social media, right? To see what else they're doing, see what they're about, you know. To see how they're being active and how they're trying to further their career. I had, I don't know, 30 artists that had also approached me to be a part of my project, but just wasn't a good fit. You know what I mean? Mm. Where it's like either their style wasn't quite right, you know. There's all sorts of other things that maybe don't fit, you know. But Marco, his style fit great. The very first thing he did for me was the character sketch of Jude St. Clair, and it's fabulous. And that's when I knew that was it. I was like, yes, we're going to move forward. Because he had like the hat and the expression and the scruffiness. And then he did like the full body where he had like, he's a cowboy, but there's other things going on. So he's wearing a disc, which we'll talk about. And then he has almost like a road warrior look where he has like a shoulder pad and a knee pad, but just one. So it's not like a football player. It's obviously something else going on here. So he really gave him a unique look, but he understood the reasons why someone would have to wear that in the apocalypse, you know?
Mm, okay.
So
that's awesome, man. Yeah, I mean, I'm just looking through some of these pages. I mean, we'll share the campaign in a few minutes. But so just briefly before we even go into it, what is the story about? What is the path of the Hell Rider about?
So in this world, the death process is broken for everything. So people, animals, insects, everything. So what I mean by that is your body can die, but your soul is trapped in the body as it decays. Mm. So you don't rest, you don't transition. You're stuck during your own decay process. Your brain decays, so you start losing your facilities, so you can become forgetful, you can become violent, you can become indifferent. You know, there's all these changes, and they happen differently for everybody. So you could be violent, and maybe I'm just indifferent, you know, or, you know, someone else is just forgetful. So it's kind of like having a brain injury or a debilitating disease, a progressively declining disease, right? And it's terrible. So it creates all sorts of problems in this world. You know, especially famine is one of the biggest things, because with animals, it's like, that's one of our food sources. If we can't butcher an animal anymore, or the meat is still moving when you try to eat it, thank you. Right. Cause I'm not eating that burger while it's moving. and then we have insects that continue to eat because pesticides don't work. They're already undead. So we have all sorts of problems. We have water issues, overpopulation issues. We have the undead population that's becoming more and more chaotic. The government starts stepping in and like taking away rights. You know, like the disc is technology that we built into the world. It's something that people are forced to wear and it will, if you tap it, if you activate it, it will beat with the heart. So it'll glow green with the heartbeat, and it has a speaker so you can hear the heartbeat as well. So if you're undead, it'll flatline and be red. So there's a visual and audio indicator if you're living or not. But again, I base this off of kind of like what people really would do. So if it's technology that the government built, we would hack it.
Right.
We would hack it. Right?
Right.
So now you don't know if you can trust this thing or not. We have undead that are trying to pass. We have undead that are losing their rights to vote, drive, own property. So it's like, where do you go? Where do you, you know? Then they start separating the two communities, the living and the undead. So now it's like, now you have the issue of, okay, I'm alive, but my spouse is undead and they're going to come get him. Or my child is undead and they're going to come get him. Or I'm undead and my child is alive. They're going to come get me and leave my child here by themselves. So it just creates all of these problems, right? Yeah. So in the story, first episode, you're following Jude St. Clair. He's 10 years into the apocalypse. Most everybody has moved on at this point. I mean, come on, look at us with COVID. We've moved on, right?
Yeah, right.
It's only been 2 years. 10 years, they're moved on. He is not happy. He's not complacent. He wants to know the reason why the death process broke. And he has his journal. He's been writing down all these conspiracy theories that he's been debunking for the last 10 years, trying to figure out what broke the death process and to see if he can survive long enough to put the world back to the way it was.
Gotcha. So now I like the term you're using, undead. They're so undead. That's like somewhere in the middle. So you're alive, you're undead. Now, do you eventually die in this world? No. There is no death.
There's no death, which is, you know, it's kind of funny because if you think about it, if someone is used to the zombie trope where it's like shoot them in the brain and then they're done, right?
Yeah.
Well, you can shoot our undead in the brain and then they become more chaotic because they're using less of their brain. So you just make it worse.
Wow. Damn. So do we find a way to control? Like, I mean, as the world goes along, we have.
Are you trying to get the spoilers? Yes. Spoilers. What's up?
I'm trying to get spoilers.
I mean, I will cover all of the things you can think of. I will cover like what the government does. I will cover like how people react. How I think people would react.
Yeah.
Based off of history and like how we've treated people in the past. Because basically the undead population is now the newest minority, right? And because we take away rights and we shove them wherever, get rid of them. But I don't ever say what the right answer is. I kind of like point a giant spotlight at the human race just to show how ugly we can be. But I let the viewer decide what's right or wrong. I don't preach.
Yeah, no, that's perfect. And that's something that when you were on the show and I was listening to it, it's like, that's what you don't want. You don't want to preach. You want to say, hey, this is what's happening. You decide what's right, what's wrong. I'm just putting it out there. This is what it is.
Fictional world.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. Absolutely. Now you say you have up to 13. So the script that you wrote, you broke that down to 13 issues, but you're still writing. So is there an end to the story? Do you see like some sort of conclusion, or it can go on for 300 issues?
Well, I do have an ending in mind. Mm-hmm. We haven't gotten there yet. It's a specific ending. There's gotta be a lot that happens to get us there. So like 13 issues is the first arc. And then I'm about 5 issues into the second arc. The second arc will not get us to the ending. So there will be at least a third arc. I don't know if there will be anything further than that. It just depends on how I develop the story in the third arc. But it's like for every time I talk about how crazy the first arc is, the second arc is even worse.
Okay. All right.
Warped. Didn't I say warped? It's warped.
I was reading that book like, what?
I'm passionate. Right?
Yeah. He's like, who is this woman I married?
Yeah. What? I didn't know this.
He's throwing knives.
I mean,
you never die.
I mean, he knew about the knife thing since, you know, before we got married, because I've been training that long. So, right, I mean, he kind of knew like what he was getting into with the martial arts. But
does he do martial arts? Is he a martial artist as well? Okay.
No.
Good for you, Lloyd. Good for you. Good one. But you want to share the campaign so we can go into it?
Here it is.
How long is this trailer?
I think it's only a couple minutes, like 3 minutes total. Yeah. So we can watch it.
Yeah, let's do it.
Age of fellow nerd Lori Calcaterra. I am the writer creator of Path of the Pale Rider, and I just wanted to take a minute to tell you why you should back our project. So we have this awesome comic book, right? And you get to follow Jude St. Clair through the apocalypse. He's looking for answers on why the dead don't die. So yeah, it's apocalypse, it's horror, we have zombies, but the zombies are a little different. And you know what? No spoilers. You're going to have to read to find out. So the next part of the project is the short films. So we follow Jude's journey in the comic, but there's so many other things that are happening in this world that I figured we could explore those things with a short film. So every episode that comes out, there'll be a short film with it, and it will show other aspects of things that are happening. And the coolest part about these is, that's right, these are interactive. So that means you as the reader can be part of the next short film. So you have to join the Facebook group to get the details, and then all the video submissions come to me for editing, and then we make one big thing, and for the next Kickstarter, you can be a part of the film. So the last part of the project is the scavenger hunts and the Easter eggs. So every comic is going to have something for you to solve, maybe 10 little breadcrumbs to follow, and that will take you to a place you get to experience additional content that's just for the people that solve the riddles. Gotta solve the riddles, guys. We got a lot of moving parts. We got the comic book, we got the short films, we got the Easter eggs. But what I really need is you. I need your support in order to bring this world to light. I would love to have you just scroll through those rewards, see which one works for you. We have a lot of different varying covers to choose from. We got a lot of different packages that might fit you. So thank you for your support. And one last thing, remember, when you're in the apocalypse, swords don't run out of bullets.
Swords don't run out of bullets. That's a good point.
They don't.
That's a good point, Lori. That's a very good point.
Get you a sword.
So you have a few things going on here. I'm a sucker for scavenger hunts. We'll talk about that later. But so you have a short film aspect to this thing. So explain that a little bit more.
Yeah, so kind of like what I said, there's so many things that are going on in this world. Like when I was doing world building, I just went like way over the rails with it. I went nuts. So when I wrote the story, I was like, there's some really cool things that I couldn't work into what's happening to Jude. So I was like, well, we can still do stuff with this material. We'll just do it outside of the comic. So me coming from production, I was like, let's do a short film. So we did one for episode one. If you go into like the description, if you scroll towards the bottom, there's a short film there. There's all the beautiful pages. There's me. Not that one. Keep going. Variant covers, that one. Yes, so this, cool. We made a commercial. Do you want to watch it?
Sure.
Okay. This one's only 2 minutes.
When it comes to an inspired and privileged retirement, Pine Fox is where you want to be. Quality of life, peace of mind, harmony, it's all here. The setting is beautiful and peaceful. The atmosphere is lively and enriching. The amenities have something for everyone and every interest. At Pine Fox, your health and well-being is a top priority. Our community is growing and just waiting for you to join us. Yeah, if making the most of your AD years matters to you, the choice is clear. Pine Fox.
Katie, time to come in.
Hey, Mom. For more information, call 216-555-3323 or visit pineflax.com today.
cool, man.
You can stop it.
That's great. Like the production value of that is amazing. That's really good.
Thank you. So, I mean, it's just kind of something like if you were in that world and you were watching the TV, like that commercial might come on where it's just advertising an undead retirement community, like buy your spot today. So when you are undead, you have somewhere that you know that you're going to go, you know, and live out your undead years and not be a threat to anybody. So it's just kind of like, it's almost like unethical. It's like, if you think about it, where they're like trying to push your fear on you, like there's only so much space left. Right. You got to come pick your spot. Otherwise everything's going to be gone. And then of course it's interspliced with these like riots and violence, and it's like how the world wants you to think,
right?
Pick white picket fences, and then what's really happening in this world. So it makes you kind of question, you know, what's being force fed versus what's the reality.
Is that website, like if I went to pinefox.com, is that a website that's up? Like,
that one's not yet, okay. But I want to go that way. You know what I mean? Right. Where I can take it multiple steps where if like you call the phone number, it would take you to PineFox. Right. You know, so we're going to build stuff like that into the Kickstarter going forward.
Nice. Very creative.
Yeah.
Thank you. And episode 2, we're going to all put stuff together. So it's like you as the reader can be part of the short film if you want to.
Gotcha. So then mm-hmm. what's the next step is the scavenger hunt. So what is the scavenger hunt and the Easter eggs and all that other stuff? What's that?
So if you scroll down where that short film was, there's the back cover of episode 1. It's actually a riddle. Hmm. And if you can solve the riddle, it sends you to some place in the real world. So there's going to be stuff either in the comic or on the back cover, stuff like that, where we're going to have like Morse code or ciphers to break, or maybe a QR code, kind of like Moon Knight did. They stole my idea. I was like, dang it, they're stealing my idea. Stuff like that. Or like maybe it sends you to a YouTube channel or a podcast or a phone number. Maybe you input your address somewhere and you get something in the mail from us. And it's all going to be like if you were in Path of the Pale Rider. So just a little way to immerse yourself, a little rabbit hole you can fall into. Yeah. And the additional content is going to be there just for the people that can solve these. So
that's amazing.
Gotta solve the riddles.
Yeah.
I've had 3 people solve this one so far.
Really? All right. Mm-hmm. Good stuff. So now the campaign is live. It's how much time do you have left? I can't see.
Oh, lots of time. But don't wait.
24 days. No, you don't want to wait. Yeah, it ends on May 15th, Sunday, May 15th. Mm-hmm. But yeah, 24 days. You're at 28:15. Now, as far as the title of the book, was the Path of the Pale Rider, was that always the title? Did you have a working title and then you came up with this? Because I like the title. Like that really grabbed me, the Path of the Pale Rider. Where did that come from?
It's about death. I mean, if you read the Revelation in the Bible, the four horsemen of the apocalypse, the last one that comes is it says something like the last horseman that comes is riding upon a pale horse, and the name of the one sitting on the horse's name is death. So the path of the pale rider is kind of about where is death? Where did death go? You know, because the death process is broken. So there's been lots of interpretations to this. Someone asked me yesterday, like, is Jude the Pale Rider? And I was like, maybe, but I'm not telling, you know? Like,
Everybody wants spoilers. Everybody wants to spoil this thing.
Right, but it's like, you'll have to read to find out. But I do write like multiple layers of things into like names, like Jude St. Clair. St. Jude is the patron saint of lost causes. So here is the man that's chasing, you know, this impossible mission, you know, almost like a lot of anime or like Japanese movies where it's like it's just a regular guy trying to do the impossible using what little he has. So there's that. I mean, anytime I name somebody, I give them a specific name. There's like the bear's name is Big James. There's a meaning behind it. Yeah. There's meanings behind every single significant character's name. So if you look into things, you might figure some more out about the character based off of how I name them or how I'm presenting them in the comic.
That's awesome. Wow. That is awesome. The so, book is, go ahead, Sam. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No. I mean, and this cover, was this done by your interior artist?
Yeah, that's done by Marco
yeah.
DeFeo.
Yeah, it's beautifully rendered.
Yeah. I mean, it's just gorgeous. Now, yeah, I see this as really perfect for that first episode because it's like Jude's decision to pick up that glass while he's on that road has such major consequences. So it just kind of like sums up this world. It's like any little decision you make could set something terrible in motion. And Marco saw it as this is how the human race is. The human race is shattered, that the death process broke and people are just all over the map. Nobody knows what to do. So they're just broken into a million pieces. So
that's beautiful.
I mean, his line work is beautiful as well. I mean,
it's gorgeous. It really is gorgeous. It reminds me of like the old school, like graphic novels that you would pick up at like a store or something. And it was like a Western and like, it's so beautifully rendered. It's really gorgeous. I mean, the work he's done, and it's almost like you don't even need the color. Like you don't need color. Like you can tell that, you know, you can enjoy this without any color. How long is the book? How many pages is the first issue?
I think it's 22 pages, and we have a couple pages of thank you pages at the back. I think we have seven or eight pages before this, and like another 8 pages or so after this. So you'll get more information about what happened to Jude before he's on this road. Like you'll find out what he's looking for, because he's looking for somebody or something.
Right.
And where he's going, and it kind of like it'll give you an idea of where he's at in the United States. And then we will definitely resolve what happens after he wakes up Big James.
Oh, wow. Yeah, no, this is awesome, Lori. And I mean, it keeps you want to know what happens after you're done with this. You want to know what happens. It's like, can you get these out fast enough so I can find out what happens? You know, it's
like one of those things. But that's what I love to do with my writing is like, not only do I want you to be excited to get episode one, but when you get to episode one, it's like, oh, crap. Like, now what does he do? You know what I mean? Like, how is he going to recover from what happens? And then it's just like at the end of episode two, same thing. I always leave people like, I need to know what happens, Lori. I'm like, that's the whole point, guys. Got to come back for the next episode. When we get to episode 8, you guys, it will blow your mind.
Really? All right.
Okay. Episode 8 is by far one of my favorites. So I want to get you guys there. Because I want someone to read episode 8 live on their show so they can react. And I want to see it. Like, I want to see what you think of episode 8 because it's going to be crazy.
Oh, nice. Man. No, that's awesome. Nice.
There's Marco. That's him.
Yeah. He's got skills.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, he does.
Yeah.
He's up and coming. He's going places. So that's why I was like, I want to keep you busy with my project.
Yeah.
Because other people are going to scoop him up if I don't, so.
And who illustrated this cover?
That's by David Rodriguez.
Yeah, it's really nice.
A friend of mine, yeah.
Yes.
Beautiful. This was the last one I was chomping at the bit. I was like, David, you got 2 days left before we go live. I love ya. Give me the cover.
Oh, that's awesome. I like that you have the disc here on the floor cracked and like these guys are coming.
Yeah.
Like, it's very well done. Very well done.
And it cracks me up because if you don't know anything about the comic, you're like, it's just a bunch of zombies. But I'm like, they're not man-eating, brain-seeking zombies. They're coming to ask you about your car's extended warranty. Like, they're not. They're singing you happy birthday. I mean, like, there's not.
So they speak. So these are regular. Mm-hmm. They, there's no like
After your brain is deteriorated enough,
wow, it gets
then you probably can't communicate, but or you can't die.
That's great.
So you're stuck. And how frustrating would that be that you can't communicate anymore? To be stuck in that body.
Damn. So Lori, so talk to us a little bit about some of the rewards.
The rewards.
Yeah, so I see one here that caught my eye. Early bird the sticker. So what's in that one? So what do we have in the early bird gets the sticker?
So that one is, of course, that's the Marco DeFeo cover. So that's the official cover.
That's the official cover.
But we're also running a limited edition sticker. So I'm only printing 50 of these stickers. And then once they're gone, they're gone. So sign up if you're interested in getting the sticker, you can do that. One of the cool things that we did about this campaign is we added add-ons. So if you want the sticker, but you want all the other variants as well, you can add on all the other variants to this level and get all the, you know what I mean? If you're interested in more than one copy of the comic, because a lot of people are. So that's just an option for you.
What about the Still Human Inside? That one's cool. I like that.
That one's a limited edition with the patch. So in the video we watched, my riders were wearing armbands that had the patch on them that said "Dead Outside, Still Human Inside" with a disc with a line, you know, a circle and a line through it. Mm-hmm. So I have a few of those left over from the shoot, and I put that on a backing level as well.
That's awesome. There's only one left, guys. Mm-hmm. So make sure you hurry up and get it. These are cool.
Only one left?
Yeah, there's. I think you only had 50. It's limited to 49 left.
There's 49 left. I looked at it wrong. Boy, I'm trying. I don't have that many backers yet. It's like, go get it right now. There's one.
Go
left.
Go get it. There's only one left.
Damn it. It's like not 50 left.
You ruined it.
I mean, we've only been live since Friday, so.
No, you're doing great. You're doing amazing. I mean, the fact that you're more than 50, 50% over this thing, and I think you just got a pledge.
Woo! Thank you. That's cool.
You're welcome. That was me.
Hell yeah!
Oh.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
I loved his cover. I had to have the cover.
Yeah.
Which one? Marcos.
Yes.
Or the Rodriguez.
Marcos.
Yeah, Marcos cover. I know. Yeah. I want a poster of that framed. I'm gonna make a sign my poster.
Oh,
but
man,
I mean, like, once you get into the $35 level, we have more of like the collector mindset. So the Nat special, you get the PDF, you get the physical edition, and then you get another one that's signed by me, like boarded and bagged, of course. And then you can put that one away and then take out the other one and smell it, read it, you know, all the good stuff. $40 is the Double Trouble, where it's the same thing, but it's signed by the both of us on the copy that you're going to keep. $50, we start adding more merch. So we have t-shirt, keychain, along with the signed copies. $75, you get the variant volumes of Doom. You get all the copies, right? So the copy from with Marco's cover will be signed by the both of us, and then you'll have variant copies, one of each. So four copies total of the comic, plus you get the keychain and the t-shirt. The immortality level is awesome because you get all the same things, except for now I'll also include a riot patch, and Marco will draw your likeness into a future episode of the comic. So you will be immortalized on the page, and then I'm going to kill you.
That sounds good.
Nice.
I like that you have a wholesale purchases too for stores and stuff.
Yeah, if anybody's in touch with a comic shop and they're interested in putting an indie comic on their shelves, you can get a ton of them at one time. That one is the only one that ships to the U.S. only. Everybody else I will ship international. The Singularity is gone. Someone grabbed that real quick, where it was all the things. Plus, I'm going to order a custom-made Funko Pop of Jude. So there's one gone. Someone's a serious collector out there. They grabbed it real quick. So,
that's awesome.
Good time. Yeah. I have to remember that for next campaign.
Yeah, seriously. That's great. The Funko Pop. That's a great idea. No, Lori, this looks great. I mean, you're doing great. I think it's gonna really, really blow up. And if you guys are watching and you haven't done so yet, make sure you pledge to the campaign, you know, this time, but why wait, right? Let's just do it now.
Yes,
don't make me wait. You
got another,
the last day.
You got another one. You're up to 43
Thank you.
Now.
There you go, guys.
Was that you? No, I'm just kidding. It cracks me up because a good chunk of the backers on my campaign are all the podcasters that I've been doing interviews with.
Hey, listen.
So God bless everybody.
Yeah, no, get them where you can. This looks like a great project. I'm really looking forward to reading it. There's so much depth and there's so much meat on that bone. No, pun intended. So it's going to be, it's going to be fun. It sounds like a great read. You really put a lot of thought into this thing. I mean, sounds like you've really, really, really thought about all of the things. I mean, I love the scavenger hunt. I'm telling you, the scavenger hunt, and all that other stuff. It's fun. I can't wait.
Yeah. Oh, I have plans for that. I have lots of really cool plans, and I can't wait to, like, you know, actually act on them.
So now let me ask you a question, Lori. So now, mm-hmm. now that you have this book and you have the campaign, the possibility of maybe pitching it to a streaming service, is that become more of like a reality in your head? Like, now do you kind of find, like, I think I know how to do this now. Do you find that's happening now?
I think we're still a few steps away from that. So mm-hmm. what I'm thinking next, I still want to release directly to Kickstarter, you know, for every episode. That helps me pay my illustrator his page rate, of course. Sure. Super important that he's happy. Mm-hmm. I'd like to take the comic once we get funded and start pitching to different publishers.
Yeah.
Exactly. Go support it, everyone. Thanks, Ronnie. But then we can kind of build our readership, build our fan base. And then once we're, like, you know, well into the story and people are following, are invested in the characters, that's when I want to, like, take it to a streaming service and see if they'll be interested in the project. It's one of those where it's like, again, I don't want to lose control, and I don't want them to be comfortable enough where they could change some of my characters. Like, yeah. I have a female character who's a fighter, go figure. And if they think, right, who would do that? Like, but if they would be comfortable enough to go in and change her, I would be really upset. Like, absolutely. And I want my fans to be upset. I would want them to read it and be like, that's not who this is, you know, and be pissed. That's what I want. So it's like, until I can have that kind of clout, I shouldn't be taking my project to Netflix or anybody yet, you know? That's where my head is thinking long term. But we got lots of stuff to do to get there. Sure. And first thing is get funded on Kickstarter for episode one.
There you go.
We're at that stage where I'm going to give you the screen and you're going to deliver your elevator pitch. Why should people back Path of the Pale Rider, and where can they find you on your social handles? So here you go.
Hello, everybody. I'm Lori Calcaterra, indie comic creator of Path of the Pale Rider. You should come along for the journey with us. We have an awesome comic book with a fabulous story full of twists and turns. If you like stuff like sci-fi, westerns, horror, this comic is for you. It's kind of like, if I were to pick a couple movies, it'd be I Am Legend with Mad Max with the spaghetti western twist. So that's a pretty good representation of what you're going to get in this comic. But we're so much more than this comic. We're interactive. We have film. We have additional content coming out. You can be into it as much as you want. We have those Easter eggs, scavenger hunts, and riddles for you to solve. Just something extra with every episode. And I promise you, those will come out with every single episode. There's not going to be a stretch goal to unlock them. They come for free. So we have all sorts of fun things planned. Be great if you came along. Find one of those rewards that works for you and come back us today. Don't make me wait until the last day. I'm going to get all gray hair and you wouldn't like me. So that's it. Come join us. Come along. You belong.
And where can they find you on social media?
So we're in Facebook. We have a Facebook group called Path of the Pale Rider. That's kind of the baby. It gets all the updates first. It gets all, like, the fun banter, the spoilers with no context. I'll run quizzes and stuff that you'll get, like, behind the scenes as a reward if you're one of, like, the first two people that answer, you know, the question correctly, stuff like that. But right. We're on Instagram. We're at Path of the Pale Rider with an underscore between all the words. So at Path underscore of underscore the, etc. Right. So annoying. That's the same handle for our TikTok. So you can find us on TikTok. I have usually pages set to music, any updates. I do some other corny stuff. Like, I did a couple videos where it was like, you won't survive the apocalypse with your kids. So my kids got to act in it and they had a blast. So we just have hokey stuff like that for fun. We're on Twitter, so at Path Pale Rider. Is that it? Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, and then, of course, the webpage, which is www.pathofthepalerider.com.
Outstanding. Well, thank you, Lori, for being on Cast of Craze.
Thank you.
Much success to you. I don't see why this won't be funded. You have a really solid project and with a lot of heart.
Thank you.
And the quality is there. So, you know, good luck to you. And Yeah, we'd love to find out you know, what happens with your project and
long-term.
Come
absolutely.
Down again, just hit us up.
Yeah.
Thank you. Welcome. I would love to come back. And like I said, if you want to discuss why I kill off people or what I do in my story, I'd be happy to come out and fill in the blanks. If everybody's there, like, why did you do that? Like, the reason.
Because I can. That's why.
Because I can. Drink my tea.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Laura, you're welcome back anytime. Anytime.
Thank you, guys.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. And yes. Much success. We'll definitely see you soon.
Yes, so, absolutely.
Take care.
So that was Laura awesome. Calcaterra, and that's Path of the Pale Rider. Solid, solid project, guys. Go and back it. Link is in the summary. If you haven't done so already, give it a look. See, check it out. It's really, really quality stuff.
Yeah, big time. Definitely quality stuff. I love the artwork. Love the story. The passion, the enthusiasm from Laura. It's all there. Yeah. Scavenger hunts. You got short films. I mean, you know, she's thought of it all. So yeah. definitely give it a pledge. Check it out for sure.
Absolutely. So yeah, so well, if you like this episode, please give us a thumbs up. If you have any comments, please leave it in the comments below. Hit that bell if you haven't done so already, and subscribe to the channel, because when we grow, the indie community grows. So, you know, more eyes on the show, that means more eyes on our guests, and that's what we do this for. So, and don't forget, it's we're what, 10 days away? 10 days away, George? From, 10 days away from the launch of the Adventures of Little Duck.
That's right. We are days away, guys. So make sure you sign up. Sign up and get ready for the May 4th launch here on Catch the Craze live.
Yes. Usually the ducks fly what, south for the winter? But don't forget to do that. And don't forget issue number 2, Disney Alien on My Toilet, launches May 31st, when I get back from Vegas, from the licensing expo. So that's going to be a fun-filled 2 weeks. So I'm excited about that. And that's all I got. George, do you have anything from you?
Yeah, no. Did you already plug the fact that they have to sign up to the Adventures? I mean, I'm sorry, the Disney Alien My Toy 2? Or was I sleeping when you said that? All right, cool. And we're good to go.
We're good. Set up, Sam the Crazy Man, bro.
George, the Dreamer Medina.
And we are
this is DZ Kid, but not.
Crazy. Acquiesce.
No, I was talking about my friend Acquiesce. I met him.
Say my name.
Right?
This is what you were thinking?
Oh,
you describe me? He said, I'm the idiot.
What? Catch the Craze. You're listening to Catch the Craze. You're listening to Catch the Craze.
You are listening to Catch the Craze.
Catch the Craze.
You're listening to Catch the Craze.
Outstanding.